It's tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Coming up in this hour, Mystery. Later on, one of the earliest surviving broadcasts of the Philo Vance series, but first, an episode of Casey, Press Photographer. From CBS Radio, heard on February 26th, 1944, the story called The Clue in the Clouds.
Face the camera, please. Hold it. Thanks. Look for it in the Morning Express. Casey, Press Photographer.
In the quiet evening air, there suddenly comes a whirring of wings. It's a helicopter, apparently out of control. Like a giant bird, it flaps crazily about for a few minutes and then heads out to sea.
What is it?
Yeah, it looks like a bird.
It's a helicopter.
It's a wild plane. It's out of control.
It may fall.
Let it clear the sea.
Steady desk. Burke speaking.
Hey, Burke.
Who is this? Casey?
Yes, it's Casey. Listen. There's an airplane loose over the city, helicopter. Yeah, it's out of control. Something has happened to the pilot. It's headed out to sea. The Coast Guard is trying to get the plane in the air to follow it now.
Oh, yeah? Where are you?
Well, I'm at the Blue Nose.
I thought so. Now, listen, Casey. Go home and sleep it off. I'll see you in the morning.
Now, listen. Are you in Burke?
Yes. Yeah. You ought to know better than to phone me in that condition. Now, go home and go to bed.
Oh, stop it, Burke. I'm as sober as you are. I tell you, this is a story.
Okay. So it's a story. What do you want me to do? Stay up all night waiting for you to get it?
Oh, that's... Well, Chief, I knew I could count on you. We're going down to the Coast Guard headquarters now and get all the dope we can. Maybe some pictures.
Who's with you?
Ann Williams.
All right, you crazy loon. But this had better be good. If that helicopter turns out to be a Halloween witch on a broom, you shut your last picture for me. You get that?
Get it? I know it by heart. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Stop. Helicopter.
But I'm telling you, Burke, it fell into the sea like a millstone and disappeared.
Well, Casey, if 4,000 other people hadn't seen it, I wouldn't believe it. Whose plane was it?
Now, the police say it was John Hampton. He had the only helicopter around here.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Flew it in from his estate to the top of his office building every day.
Our pioneer air commuter.
And he's missing, huh?
Yep, he and Mrs. Hampton both.
Well, take that stuff you've got to a rewrite man. Have one of the boys fix up an obituary. We've lost one of our leading citizens in a plane accident. And that's that.
Now, listen, Burke.
Casey doesn't think it was an accident.
No, for Pete's sake. And why not?
Burke, I think that dive into the ocean was planned. There's something phony about this story, and I want to track it down.
All right. What do you want to do? Go chasing geese again?
You better let him, Burke.
Someday, Casey, you'll go out and cover a story that I want covered. Now, go on. Get out of here.
Thanks, Burke. Burke, I'll tell you, I'll make a bet with you. If I'm right about this, the drinks are on you. And right now, I'm going over to John Hampton's offices to see what I can find out.
You better take Williams with you. She'll just sit around and soak till you get back.
Oh, gee, both thanks.
Okay, Burke, we're on our way.
You're Miss Gray, aren't you? Miss Matilda Gray?
Yes, I was Mr. Hampton's secretary.
Yes, what we want is material for a little story on Mr. Hampton. You think you can help us?
He was a wonderful man. Everybody admired and respected Mr. Hampton. I don't know what else I can say.
He owned this building, didn't he?
Yes, the Hampton Importing Company occupies the top three floors. He liked the idea of having his office here in the penthouse.
Mm-hmm. Is that the landing platform for his helicopter out there?
Yes, that's it.
You mind if I get a picture of it?
Not at all. Can you take it through the window?
Now, let's see. Yes, I think so. Yeah, well, thank you.
Now, could we have an agreement?
Of me?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't look very wonderful.
Oh, you look well. Look at this picture.
But that's Mr. Hampton's picture. Oh, no, I can't.
Oh, sure.
No, I can't.
Paper, this is just for the record, you know. You want a youth picture of your boss, wouldn't you?
Yes. I guess so.
Okay, hold it. Thanks. Well, that's one you won't have to look for in the express. Now, Miss Gray, what other interests did Mr. Hampton have?
Business interests?
Anything at all.
Well, he had a little commercial movie studio, the Aristocrat Film Company. But that's been closed up for 6 months.
Oh? Where's that?
At 392 Falmouth Street. They made shorts, commercial reels, and trailers. But it was only sort of hobby with Mr. Hampton. Never made any money.
Well, what do you know of Mr. Hampton's family and Mrs. Hampton?
She was alone when she married John, Mr. Hampton. She had no living relatives. And he just had an uncle, Robert K. Hampton.
An uncle, eh? Where's he?
Well, he lived somewhere on an island in the Celebes Sea. Now held by the Japanese, I understand. He was a sort of black sheep. Mr. Hampton hadn't heard from him for many years. Assumed he was dead or a prisoner until...
Until?
Well, maybe I shouldn't tell you this. But shortly before his death, a letter came from Australia. I didn't open it, but when Mr. Hampton read it, he seemed terribly upset. Then he told me it was from his uncle.
Do you have that letter now?
No, it seems to have disappeared.
And this was just before his death?
Yes, he may have had it in his pocket.
Miss Gray, this uncle, was he by any chance mentioned in Mr. Hampton's will?
He gets everything. All his money, the business, this building, everything. Oh, Mr. Casey, this is all such a terrible nightmare. I can't believe that he's gone. I don't know where to turn.
Oh, Miss Gray, it's all right. You mustn't take down. You need to rest a bit. Powder your nose. You'll feel better.
I'm all right. I'm sorry. If you'd just excuse me for a moment, I'll be right back.
Well, certainly, Miss Gray. I'm sorry we upset you.
Thank you. I'll be all right.
Casey, you know something?
What?
A clue. He was in love with her boy.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Never mind. Just take a woman's word for it.
What's the matter, young woman?
Oh, nothing. That is, you gave me a start.
Why should I frighten you?
Well, you look like...
And if I may ask, who are you? What are you doing here?
I'm just a reporter.
And who is this young lady?
I'm a reporter, too.
What are reporters doing here?
If you'll pardon me, sir, who are you?
My name is Robert K. Hampton. I'm John Hampton's uncle.
So you think this uncle had something to do with Hampton's death, huh?
Well, look, a guy named the Black Sheep Uncle as beneficiary in his will and suddenly gets a letter from him.
From all reports, he's very upset by it.
And the next day packs himself and his wife off in a plane for a double suicide.
Lieutenant Logan pronounced it an accident.
Yeah, well, it doesn't add up to me. This uncle ties in somehow. Come on, Ann, I gotta think. Let's get out in the air.
The nice smoke-laden air of the Blue Note, I have no doubt.
Hi, Ethelbert.
Hiya, Casey.
Hiya, Miss Williams.
Hello, Ethelbert.
What do you have?
One beer.
Same as usual for me.
Okay, beer and the usual coming up.
Say, what are you reading, Ethelbert?
A book on victory gardening, I guess. My sister Edna gave it to me.
Oh, your sister Edna likes to read.
Yeah, she does. She don't drink much.
What's the name of the book?
Five Little Peppers and How They Grew.
Listen, why don't you read something interesting?
Like that death plane story of yours in the Express?
Well, that's something.
I'm following that, too.
Good.
Here's your beer.
Well, what's your opinion,
Well, I think it was a sort of chameleon of errors. I think this guy was planning to run away with some dame.
No.
He gets the plane all heated up for it when a heavily veiled figure sneaks into the cockpit beside him and gives him the nod to get going.
Uh-huh.
Then he finds out that it's his wife and not his lady friend under the heavy drapes and that she's crossed him up. And by that time, he's so disgusted he dumps the whole thing in the drink.
On what do you base these deductions, Ethelbert?
Yes, mastermind. Tell us.
Quote, he who tries to fool his wife ends up playing the fool himself. Unquote.
You better stick to your books, Ethelbert, and leave the amateur detective to Casey.
Yeah.
for himself. Unquote.
You better stick to your books, Ethelbert, and leave the amateur detective to Casey.
Yeah, and you know, Ethelbert, I wouldn't waste my time on five little peppers either. It's way over your head.
Well, I... Well, to tell the truth, I'm having a tough time wading through it. You got any ideas?
Well, there's Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire.
They got that in a book already?
Sure.
Well, it just declined and fell last September.
Hey, look, Annie, you tell him. I'm going over and talk to Ernie.
Hiya, Casey.
Hi, Ernie.
Ooh, you look worried.
Yeah. Ernie, you got an old tune handy? Something for me to think by?
Sure.
Good. Can't quite tag it, though, would it?
Me and my shadow.
Oh, yeah, sure. Me and my shadow.
Yep. You know, that other self always under your feet?
Other self, huh?
Yep. You got another self. Now, one Casey has to stay here and work on the express.
Yeah.
The other wants to fly away. Go deer hunting up in the woods somewhere.
Ernie.
Hmm?
You got an uncle?
Sure, I got an uncle.
Well, look, if you knew he was coming to see you, would you want to fly away?
Well, I'd be tempted to.
Yeah, why?
Because it would mean that he was bringing his eight kids along to live off of me.
Yeah, but the thought wouldn't make you want to kill yourself, would it?
Oh, Casey, why you got to be so dramatic? Of course not.
Tell me, Ernie, what makes guys want to get away?
Oh, a name, usually. But I see them fly away from one and go right to another. Leaving all their worldly goods behind them.
That's kind of costly, isn't it?
Yeah. Dames are costly. Now, if it was me now, I'd try to get the dame to fly away and leave my worldly goods to me.
Yeah. What?
I say it'd pay a fella better if he could get the dame to fly away and leave the worldly goods to you.
Ernie, I think you got something there. Yeah, thanks.
Five Little Peppers and How They Grew has got me puzzled.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the fourth chapter already, and they ain't even started to spade the ground up.
Hey, come on, Ann. I suddenly got a hunch.
Hey, where are we going?
Home. But tomorrow, we're going back and have another look at Uncle Robert K. Hampton.
You may come in now.
Thank you.
This is Mr. Robert K. Hampton. Miss Williams, Mr. Casey.
Yes, we've met before, briefly.
How do you do? Well, this is the young lady who was so startled yesterday when she first saw me.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hampton. It was just that she looked so much...
I know. You were struck by my resemblance to my nephew.
Yes.
Well, I don't blame you. You know, I never realized how much he'd got to look like me until I arrived and saw his picture here.
Yes, it is a striking resemblance, sir. Your hair is gray instead of brown.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, he had a mustache.
Yeah, but anyone would take you for brothers otherwise.
I think they're quite different.
Well, after all, there were only 7 years difference in our ages. I was just a kid when my brother's son, John, was born.
Yeah, we were very sorry about what happened to your nephew, Mr. Hampton. These things are always kind of tough to take.
Yes, they are. But, of course, it wasn't entirely unexpected. You know, I thought John would probably come to some violent end. Why, even as a kid, he was always keyed up. Couldn't relax. It was an airplane motion. He should have taken things easier. Now look at me. I spent my youth bumming around the world. Never made much, but I had fun and got along. Then I found a spot where life was pleasant, and I settled down.
Where was that?
Surang Island, near Borneo. Paradise. Simply paradise. That is, until the Japs came along. Then I somehow managed to get out. Just by the skin of my teeth, too.
Right.
Yes. Now, well, here I am. You see, everything worked out pretty well.
Yes, thanks to John Hampton, who spent his whole life...
Miss Gray, you were saying...
I'm sorry, Mr. Hampton.
Do you mind if I take some pictures, Mr. Hampton? My paper wants to run a feature on you and your nephew. You know, your vastly different lives and activities. You know, the
The Hampton who traveled the earth and the Hampton who stayed at home.
That's rather a good idea, Mr. Casey. Where would you like me? Beside this picture of John?
No,
no. Miss Gray.
Sorry.
Yes, yes, I would if you don't mind. Let's try behind the desk there.
All right. How's this?
You'll pardon me, Mr. Hampton, but your hair's a little must. You know, with such striking gray hair as you have, you ought to have it looking its best.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll...
No, don't move. Miss Williams will arrange it.
Oh, all right.
Have you got a comb, Ann?
Uh-huh. There's one right here in my bag. Now, just a second. There you are.
Thank you.
Fine, that's it. Now, Mr. Hampton, hold it.
Want another?
I'm sure that one picture should be enough.
Miss Gray, if you please.
Well, we'll take one more. Just one more for good luck. Now, hold that just as you are, right there. Thank you.
Oh, but I'm afraid I'm in that one, too. Your camera was pointed right at me.
Well, we'll see when they're developed. Thank you both very much.
Thank you. You know, Mr. Casey, I'm somewhat of a camera fan myself.
No, that's so?
Yes, taken pictures all my life. I have some beautiful shots of Chirang Island. I was wondering if perhaps you couldn't print them along with the feature on my nephew and me. Not that I would want to monopolize the story, of course, no. But I only thought it might set off the differences in us. More dramatically, you know, give it a little added color.
Yeah, sure. Sure, that might be an angle. Let's see the pictures.
Yes, well, I have a few small ones in my wallet here.
Uh-huh.
The Japs got most of my stuff, of course.
Oh, yes, I can imagine.
Let me see now. Yes, here's a nice shot. Mount Tonamau.
Oh. Hey, look at this, Ann.
Beautiful.
And this is a view of my backyard, so to speak, looking north.
Is that you in the hammock?
Yes, that's me. I used a self-timer. Set it and then ran and got into the picture. Used a flexo camera with F3.5 lens at 1/20th of a second.
Oh, it's not bad. What's this one?
That's me again. Same trick. That was taken from the front porch.
Looking south?
Yes.
That's lovely country. Looks almost like a stage setting.
I think perhaps we're boring these people, Mr. Hampton.
Yes, I'm afraid we are.
No, no, really, not at all. I'd like to use these pictures. They're exceptional shots.
Mm-hmm. And pictures always dress up a feature.
Well, all right. But you will be careful to return them to me, won't you? They're the only prints I have, and I treasure them beyond words.
Don't worry, I'll treat them with kid gloves.
Thank you, Mr. Casey.
Well, that's all right. Now, I think we better be pushing off. Time and deadlines wait for no man.
And no woman either. We're happy to meet you, Mr. Hampton, and we hope that you like it here.
I think I shall. Take good care of the pictures.
Right. Look for them in the Morning Express.
Bye, and thank you.
Goodbye. I don't like that young man. He's too clever.
Now, darling, take it easy. After all, he's only a newspaper photographer.
Are you sure this article on you is a good idea?
Of course. We'll need it. Why do you think I went to all that work to get those pictures? The public must be convinced, too. Now, don't worry, my dear. There'll be no slip-up.
There better hadn't be. Not after 11 years of planning and waiting.
Now that those people have the pictures, I must set fire to the evidence.
You mean burn the negatives?
There are little fires and big fires.
Oh, you mean...
Yes. Tomorrow night, a nice big fire.
Let's see that negative, Ann.
Uh-huh, here you are. Yes, sir. That I call a nice layout.
Yeah. Pictures look pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm. My article's all right, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someday I must teach you how to read.
Yeah, someday. Say, these of Churang Island came out really bright and clear, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ann, look at this.
What?
Do you notice anything strange about those two shots taken in Hampton's front and backyard?
No.
Well, I do. Look. Look at this bank of clouds here.
Uh-huh.
It looks sort of like a face, doesn't it?
Oh, sure. It looks like my Aunt Sophie.
Now, quit clowning. Look at it close.
I'm looking.
Well, now, that's supposed to be a view looking north.
That's right.
Well, here's exactly the same formation in the view looking south.
Well, that's queer.
Queer? It's a physical impossibility. There haven't been two cloud formations exactly alike since the first day of creation.
Well,
Then these scenes were faked.
Yeah, they were beautifully faked. You know, I thought Hampton froze a little when you made that crack.
Which crack?
About those pictures looking almost like a stage setting. No, Annie. Hampton gave us these pictures for the paper for a reason. He wants everyone to see them. He wants everyone to think that he has lived all these years miles away from here. And that he arrived here just in time to have a pot of gold fall into his lap.
Oh, that's a little too neat, isn't it?
Yeah, these pictures are all he's got to prove he wasn't here all the time.
Well, if he was here, how do we know he didn't murder John Hampton? He had the motive, all right. The will gives him everything.
Yeah, and right under John Hampton's feet. Hey, who said something like that?
Mm.
Ernie. That's right, me and my shadow. Annie, I think I got it. Quick, let me look at your comb.
Well, sure, Casey. Well, here, but what on earth's the matter?
Hey, wait a minute. Here, look at this. A hair. A lone gray hair. I gotta take this down to Logan and have him run some tests on it. I'll see you back here in about an hour.
Well, here are your pictures of Hampton, the ones we didn't print.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to check on them. Let's see here. Yeah, here it is. Look, Burke. This one of Hampton with Miss Gray in the background. You see this?
Yeah. And what a sugar-coated look she's got on her puss.
Hey, let me see.
And don't she look like a mother whose son has just been made president of his class or something?
She in love with this guy?
Of course not.
You sure am?
Well, she just met him.
Uh-huh. You swore she was in love with her boss.
That's right. And a woman like that couldn't be in love with two men.
Why not?
Because she's the perfect one-man-woman type.
Uh-huh. That's all I wanted to hear. I got a theory on this case, and this just about puts a pin on it. Come on.
Hey, where are we going?
We got a little job of breaking and entering to do. We're going to crash the deserted studio of the Aristocrat Film Company. I think I just about got it.
Isn't this a tiny little bit illegal?
Well, I can fix that with Logan. He and I are just like that.
Uh-huh.
Here we are. Come on, we gotta work fast.
Oh, spooky, isn't it?
Where'd I light a match? See any light switches around here?
Wait a minute. Here's one.
Ah, that's better. Well, so this is the Aristocrat movie studio, huh?
And a fine place to bring a young girl in the dead of night.
Annie, you see those crates over there?
Yeah.
I'll bet you 10 to 1 they're full of prop palms, grass mats, and tropical foliage. Let's see.
All right. Mr. Casey, your intuition is appalling. I'm glad I didn't cover that bet.
Uh-huh. Artificial flowers, trees, rocks, leaves, everything you need to build up a nice little South Sea Island setting right here.
Uh-huh. You mean Hampton could have sneaked in here alone, arranged a beautiful little tropic setting, and taken pictures all over the place?
Not only could have, he did, with a self-timer. And by changing the bushes and foliage around, he got the so-called view from his front porch and the one from his back porch.
Well, where's the sky with a funny cloud formation?
It's hanging right over your head. Look up.
All those big hanging things?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those. Those are backgrounds, you see, held up there by these ropes tied right here.
Oh, Whitney?
Hey, look out! You want to kill us both? You pull that knot and all those heavy drops would crash down on our heads.
Oh, sorry. I only thought you might want to get them down to see if you could find the one with the cross.
Yeah, but we'll have to snub the rope around this peg and let the drop down gradually. Those things are heavy.
Put your hands up, Casey.
Hampton.
He's got a gun.
And you too, Miss Williams.
Oh, yes, sir.
You seem surprised to see me, Mr. Casey. Why? Do you forget that I own this studio now? It's rather I who should be surprised. What are you doing here?
We're looking for Churang Island. And you?
I came to burn this place down. For a reason that you may have already surmised.
Yes. Yeah. You didn't want anyone to find out where you made those phony pictures, did you?
No, and I don't want you to tell them. And you won't if you and your charming lady friend should get trapped here and cremated.
There's rather an ugly name for that. Murder.
A murder is not a murder until it's proven so. But before I kill you, I want you to tell me something.
Yes, I expected that. Most murderers are very cautious to know where they slipped up. All right, I'll tell you, Mr. John Hampton.
Oh, you guessed that too.
Of course. You're not Robert K. Hampton. There never was any Robert K. Hampton.
You never fled from the Japs on Churang Island. You picked that place because it would be impossible to check your story. This whole thing was arranged between you and Miss Matilda Gray. You planned this for years and been in love with her for years.
Go on.
You drew your will to a fictitious uncle and probably faked up enough credentials so that you could appear to be that uncle.
And then when the time came, all you had to do was drug your wife, put her in a helicopter.
Yeah, it was just enough fuel to get over the ocean and set the controls and let her go.
Don't you think the plan was clever?
Fiendishly clever. And it was clever of you to spend 10 years working out your disguise. Most criminals try to change their identity by putting on a disguise. You achieved a change by taking one off. One you'd worn for 10 years. You shaved your mustache, bleached the dye out of your hair, and then came down here and took a few pictures of yourself in a tropical setting. Then, the very next day, you turned up as the long-lost uncle, inheriting all your own money, and in a position to marry Miss Matilda Gray.
I fooled everyone but you, Mr. Casey. Tell me, why did you suspect me?
Well, being a photographer, maybe I looked too closely at your pictures. And you made the mistake of using the same sky in all of them.
Oh. Clever of you to notice it.
Well, you slipped up on one other little thing, too. Your hair. Remember when I combed it for you, Miss Hanson?
Yes. Under the police microscope, a strand of your hair still showed traces of brown dye.
It's those little things, Mr. Hanson.
Perhaps.
And then, of course, you should never have let me get a picture of Matilda Gray off guard. For although she treated you badly and seemed to hate you, her love showed up in the face as plainly as though it were written there.
Very interesting.
And as Anne told me, a woman like Matilda Gray couldn't love two men. It turned out she didn't. Both men were you.
Quite right. Now, before you have a chance to turn this story over to the police, I'm afraid I shall have to shoot you both.
I wonder if you'd mind shooting me first. The sight of blood, you know.
You can't afford to joke, Miss Williams.
Oh, no. I don't want to be too near. May I stand over there by those ropes?
Wherever you wish.
Thank you.
Good girl, Annie. Good girl, boy. That dude is...
Okay. I got his gun. Wow, that drops your beat.
Is he breathing?
Yeah. But he won't know it for an hour or so. Gee, kid, nice going.
Well, darling, you told me not to pull that knot and...
Annie, this was an inspiration. I could just about kiss you.
Oh, so I've got to save your life to deserve one stingy little kiss.
Hi, Ethelbert.
Hi, Casey. Miss Williams. Well, Mr. Burke, this is a surprise.
Yes, well, I...
Burke's buying the drinks, Ethelbert.
Wow, my LeBay.
Hello,
Ethelbert. Oh, hello, Grace. Well, it be, Miss Williams?
Double martini.
A double?
Two olives.
Oh.
And the usual for me, a double.
Now, wait a minute, Casey.
And a double scotch for Ernie at the piano, too.
Hey, go easy, Casey.
One for his shadow, yeah. And one for you, Ethelbert, and a double for Grace.
Hey, Casey.
And see what the boys in the back room will have, too.
And what would you like, Mr. Burke?
Oh, please, Ethelbert, how much is sarsaparilla?
Well, as Carrie Nation once said, quote, he who partakes only of nature's liquor has the pleasure of remaining sober and paying the check, unquote.
You've been listening to Casey, Press Photographer, played by Stotts Cotsworth, a new series of adventure programs based on the fictional character created by George Harmon Cox.
Casey, Press Photographer, on Tuned to Yesterday, broadcast on CBS Radio on February 26th, 1944. If you're an old-time radio aficionado or remember this series from way back when, you might remember it as Casey Crime Photographer. He was created by George Harmon Cox, who first gave him the name Flash Gun Casey in print, and that's how the show was billed when it first hit the air in 1943 and held its own for nearly 8 years on CBS. The leading man of Flash Gun Casey went through several changes as well, but by the end of the first season, the actor you just heard, Stotts Cotsworth, proved to be the voice that sold the show. And he would stay in that role to its conclusion in 1950, even returning for its short-lived revival from 1954 to 55. And speaking of changes, the program also couldn't seem to decide on a title for the show and went through 4 name changes in 8 years on the air. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the earliest known surviving broadcast of the Philo Vance series. This episode, first broadcast on NBC on July 26th, 1945, called The Case of the Girl Who Came Back.
healthy, a widower without children. It's possible for some dishonest person to try and get his money away from him. When the widower lost his only child in a drowning some 9 years ago, the most logical way to get the money, since the body of the drowned child was never recovered, would be to pretend to be the dead girl. Hello, creeps. This is T4Y, opening the doors of the Mystery Playhouse. Tonight we celebrate the return of the master of them all, the inimitable Philo Vance. The story, the case of the girl who came back. About 10 minutes ago, in Philo Vance's apartment, the eminent detective has just finished luncheon, alone. Now, however, he has a guest, and she's very much at home, even with his servant, Curry.
Lay out Mr. Vance's water wings, will you, Curry? We're going swimming.
We are not.
Mr. Vance.
Vance, really, it's a terrific day. I phoned Washington, and there isn't any detecting for me to do. Please take me swimming.
It's on the island, no doubt. Along with 7 million others who've got the same idea.
It'd be fun.
Mr. Vance.
It would be a nightmare. I loathe floundering about in water like a canned salmon. What is it, Curry?
You are a canned salmon.
This gentleman, Mr. Vance, remember he's been waiting for you to finish lunch?
The one in the hall? He was sitting there when I came in.
Tell him to come in, Curry.
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. What's his name?
Martin, Mr. Vance. John Martin.
Maybe he'll take me swimming.
You can dream, can't you? Mr. Martin? Mr. Martin, come in, please.
Thank you. You're Mr. Philo Vance?
I am. This is Miss Randall, my, swimming instructor.
I beg your pardon?
How do you do, Mr. Martin?
You're probably wondering why I'm here, Mr. Vance. I just had to come to you. This thing is so unbelievable, so fantastic.
Let's hear it, Mr. Martin.
I beg your pardon?
Miss Randall, I ought to say, is a detective, Mr. Martin. In manner of speaking.
Oh, I see.
Thanks for the manner of speaking.
Don't mention it. Just what is your story, Mr. Martin? Perhaps I can suggest someone who'll be glad to help.
It's horrible, Mr. Vance. You see, I live out on Long Island, Great Neck Long Island. I have a home there on the water.
I know the section.
I'm alone now. My wife died 6 years ago.
I see.
You may remember, it was in the papers. Our only child was drowned on our beach when she was 11.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was a great tragedy, Miss Randall. Mrs. Martin never really got over it.
Oh, then this wasn't recent.
Oh, no. No, Jean was drowned 9 years ago, Mr. Vance.
1936.
Yes, that's right. My wife died 3 years later. The child and I were swimming together. I can remember it so plainly. She ventured out too far while I was on shore, and she was caught in a riptide.
How horrible.
I heard her scream, but I couldn't reach her. I saw her body carried out to sea, Mr. Vance. I saw it myself.
It was recovered?
Never. No, from that day to this, her body was never found. Oh, I spent thousands, Mr. Vance, just to give her poor mother that much peace of mind. But her body was never washed in.
Well, I am sorry, Mr. Martin. I can understand a tragedy like that. But I don't quite see...
Yesterday, Mr. Vance, Jean came home.
What?
Yes, I didn't quite get that myself.
This girl, this fraud, Mr. Vance, this cunning little imposter, she came to my home yesterday and tried to tell me she's my own daughter.
What in the...
But, Mr. Martin, surely you can tell.
Why, of course I can tell. She's a scheming little cheat, Mr. Vance. She's no more my Jean than this lady is.
Hardly see that it's anything to worry about, Mr. Martin. Why not phone the police?
I wanted to at once. But my law firm bears my name, you see. Unpleasant publicity of that sort, notoriety. No, I owe it to my associates to keep it out of the papers.
But obviously, if the girl is an imposter, you can make short work of her. Trip her up on some simple little reference to her past, to her mother. It seems easy, Mr. Martin.
That's just it. This girl knows more about me than I do myself. Terrifying, Mr. Vance. She knows the house, the grounds, the countryside. And she swears she's my daughter.
I don't mean to be simple, but where does she say she's been all this time?
Oh, she has a story for that, too. Says that she was washed up on shore, a complete victim of amnesia.
Oh.
Yes, the gall of it. Tried to tell me she's been without memory for 9 years and came out of it this week in a fall down the stairs.
She sounds clever.
You don't recognize her, of course.
I'm sure she's not my daughter, Mr. Vance. Definitely sure.
Well, she would change, naturally. She was 11 when she was drowned. 20 now. Yes, She changed a great deal.
Oh, not that much, Vance.
Yet you say she seems well acquainted with her alleged home, Mr. Martin.
It's amazing. That's why I can't call the police. Her story is just convincing enough. They'd drag it through the papers for weeks.
She's working with someone, of course. Someone who's told her the right answers. Right, Vance?
You know, I'd like to meet a girl who would plan a game like this. I really would.
Then you'll help me, Mr. Vance. You'll expose her.
Still sold on that swim lane?
Now? Not while you cavort with a 20-year-old ghost, darling. I'll stick with you.
And this brings us back to the library, Mr. Vance. Now you've seen the whole estate.
Well, I see you're a camera enthusiast, Mr. Martin.
What? Oh, those enlargements. Yes, I dabble in it. When the war broke out, my doctors told me to do something to quiet my nerves, so I took up photography.
Some of these are excellent.
I have a dark room downstairs. I'll open it up if you like.
I'd enjoy it. And now if you'll send the young lady in, please.
I'll tell you how grateful I am, Mr. Vance. It's been a terrible strain. Mr. Vance wants to see you.
What about?
Come in, Miss...
Miss Martin. Jean Martin.
Yeah, so we've heard. Sit down, Miss. Miss Martin. If you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a few questions.
I suppose he hired you.
On the contrary, I should have paid to meet you. I admire your courage.
You're very funny.
You contend you've been an amnesia victim for 9 years. Is that right?
That's right. But surely you know where you've been. I remember falling. I must have hit my head because there's a bump on it. And that's all.
That's all?
When I came to, I was about a block from here. That was last night.
You mean you don't know where you've been for 9 years?
You heard me.
Oh, your language, chum. Doesn't quite go with the decor around here.
Okay, so maybe the last 9 years weren't so good. How do I know?
Well, that lane puts you in the well-known place.
Listen, mister, I'm Jean Martin, and you and nobody else can prove any different. So let's get down to terms.
Terms? What kind of terms?
Oh, he didn't tell you that, huh? Well, listen, my grandfather was stinking rich. He was lousy with it, see? And it all came to me. Only my father was to get it if I died.
And now you've come back for the money that's rightfully yours. Is that it?
You think I'm going to let him keep it? He won't even listen to me.
Imagine being so mean.
You keep out of this.
Careful, girls. You did miss up on one small detail, you know. Jean Martin had a scar on her right wrist. A rather prominent scar. And you haven't.
A scar can heal, can't it? I had the scar. It's gone now. It's been gone for years.
Oh, brother, you're really good.
Listen, you...
Wait a minute. Keep talking, Lane.
What?
There's someone listening at the door. Say anything.
Well, I know what I'd like to say. A nice afternoon like this, and we come all the way out here to...
Care to join us?
Come in.
Hey, let go of me.
Gladly. And who, might I ask, are you?
A long-lost brother, no doubt.
Well?
I work here. I'm the chauffeur.
That's right, he is. Bill and I used to play together when we were kids.
Would you say that slowly, honey? I'm a little sick today.
His father worked here for us before. Bill was brought up on the estate. We used to play together all the time.
That right, Bill?
I never saw her before in my life.
Why, you...
But you did live here. You did play with the real Jean Martin.
Sure. She was a great little kid. I taught her to swim.
You remember a scar on her wrist, of course?
Sure I do. Right here. About an inch and a half. She got it cutting a watermelon at a picnic out on the lawn. Heck, I went with her when my dad drove her into town to the doctor.
I see. Well, you've been a great help, Bill. You'll be around if I need you again.
Yeah. I'll be around.
Thank you.
Listen, he's lying, I tell you. He remembers me. He must.
Sure, honey. We all do.
Will you ask your papa to come in here, Jean?
Listen, you can stop cracking, both of you, because I'm Jean Martin, brother, and that sticks.
Ask him to come in, please.
Sure. Go ahead. Play detective all you like. Hey, Daddy.
You're through, Mr. Vance?
Well, it wasn't much effort, Mr. Martin. The local police could have handled the situation nicely. Let's all sit down a moment.
Sure, I got all the time in the world.
You scheming little...
Take it easy, Daddy.
On the way out here, young lady, Mr. Martin explained that you're unusually well acquainted with this house. In short, that you can answer questions an outsider wouldn't know.
I told you I used to live here. Remember?
You knew, for instance, that your mother played the piano. That the rose garden was once to the north rather than where it is now. That the roof on the east wing is new.
Yes, there was a great deal more, Mr. Vance. It's uncanny.
Well, obviously the girl's been well coached. Is Bill in on the deal, Jean?
What? My chauffeur, Bill?
We've met him, Mr. Martin.
Why, that's absurd. I practically raised the boy myself. His father died right here in my employ.
Try again, Mr. Detective.
Suppose we try money, Jean. That interest you?
Sure it does. If the money belongs to me. Don't forget I'm Jean Martin.
You know, Mr. Martin, the girl might be telling the truth.
Oh, that.
Why, that's ridiculous, Mr. Vance. I'm surprised you mentioned such a thing.
Stranger things have happened, you know. And the girl is right. Childhood scars do disappear in time.
But for
her amnesia, that's entirely possible, too.
Now you're doing okay. Vance, what in the world?
My suggestion, Mr. Martin, is that we settle this some way now. Right here in this room.
I think I'll have a drink.
Well, perhaps that would help us all. Lane?
You sound like you've had 10, Vance. Why, anything.
Later, pet. When we're alone.
There's only scotch here in the library, if you...
Well, that will do nicely, thanks.
Let me pour the drink. I'm the daughter, you know. You want one, too? Oh, I might as well. I feel it already. Here you are, Mr. Vance.
Ah, thank you. Now then, let's drink to the success of our bargaining. How's that? To the success of what we'll accomplish here.
Mr. Vance, wait.
What, Miss Martin?
Vance, no, don't drink that. It's poison, Vance. That glass is full of poison.
Vance!
Well, I seem to have spilled my drink.
Vance, you didn't drink it.
Thanks to Mr. Martin, no.
Well, I'm sorry I had to knock it out of your hand, Mr. Vance. You devil.
Why, listen.
Smell that, Mr. Vance. Why, I know that odor anywhere. It's the emulsion I use in my dark room downstairs. You little fiend. You knew I kept chemicals in there. Then, when Mr. Vance was going to expose you, you decided to poison him.
Good Lord.
I am grateful to you, Mr. Martin. It seems I almost drank a developer highball.
You're off the beam, all of you. Why, I...
You keep quiet. I've had enough out of you. Well, Mr. Vance, shall I call the police?
It won't be necessary, Mr. Martin. Miss Randall and I are driving into town. We'll take our young friend with us.
Why, you chump.
Oh, and I'd like to take Bill, too, Mr. Martin. I'm not entirely sure he isn't mixed up in this.
Take them all. I just want this woman out of my house.
I assure you, Mr. Martin, you've seen the last of her.
Want me to stay in here, Mr. Vance? I mean, with all this?
No, I think not, Curry. I'll call if I need you.
Yes.
Oh, Vance, dear.
Yes, Lane?
Is it fair if I ask just one little question?
By all means.
What in the name of what are we doing here in your apartment? Let's take these two down to the district attorney's office and be done with it.
Look, Mr. Vance, you got me all wrong. I never saw this dame before until last night.
Oh, yes, you did, Billy. Yes, you did.
All right, kids. I think the show's gone far enough. You can take that layer of skin off your wrist, Jean.
Vance, what in the world
is... This is what I mean, Jean. Let me have your wrist a moment.
Get away from her.
All right, Bill. I'm quite convinced she is Jean Martin. See? Just an ordinary skin patch, isn't it, Jean? And very neatly applied, too.
She's got the scar.
She has. Miss Martin, Miss Randall.
How do you do? You win, Mr. Vance.
You found her, of course, Bill?
Yes, sir. I never gave up looking for Jean.
The amnesia story is true, then?
Quite true, Mr. Vance. I came to on the beach about 6 miles from our house. On the day I was supposed to be drowned, I mean. I was 11 years old.
The doctors figured a wave threw her up against a log or something in the water, Mr. Vance. Her head was cut.
And then, Jean?
Well, I couldn't remember anything, Mr. Vance. For days I'd walked around in a kind of a dream, and then finally I was taken to the Good Shepherd Orphanage. Well, you can phone them and check if you like. I've been working there for my board and room.
Go on.
Well, just as Bill said, he's always looked for me. He never believed I was drowned.
I couldn't afford to hire detectives or advertise, Mr. Vance, especially working right there in the Martin home. I'd just ask questions and write letters. Then when a reply sounded worthwhile, well, I'd investigate in my time off.
And one letter came to the Good Shepherd asking about an amnesia case in 1936, and so they told Bill about me. Bill came up to see me, and well, here we are.
I see. Well, that clears up a great deal.
Vance, you're out of your mind. Why, those two are bigger phonies than I thought.
Why, Lane?
Well, for one thing, why did our hero here keep all this from the girl's father? Why not let him spend his money looking for his own daughter?
He thought she was dead.
Oh, and you knew better, I suppose.
Mr. Martin was careful that there was almost no publicity at the time of the drowning, Miss Randall. Just a little too careful. Why did he want to keep it quiet when the body wasn't found?
Okay, we'll skip that for a minute. Suppose you are Jean Martin. Why the mystery? Why cover up the one scar that proves it? Why play the tough little mole with us all afternoon? And you, Bill, you pretended you didn't even know her. What goes on here?
Fair question, Lane. Going to answer, Jean?
Well, you're convinced that I am Jean Martin, Mr. Vance.
Beyond a doubt, Jean, even without the scar. I knew it before we left your home.
All right, then I'll tell you. My father tried to murder me. What? Yes, I know that sounds strange, but that's true. I wasn't carried away by the tide that day. And he wasn't on the shore, as he said.
He held her head underwater, Mr. Vance. Held her and pushed her out to sea.
And when I got back, I knew if I proved I was Jean right away, he'd try to murder me again. And if I went to the police, he'd call me an imposter. He'd even lie about my scar. So the only thing to do was to throw him off his guard by convincing him that I was a fake.
You see, we hoped we could find a way to trick him into admitting he tried to kill her. We planned it together, Mr. Vance. And when Mr. Martin called you in, we didn't know what to do.
You see, Lane?
Oh, just skip me, Vance. I'm so dizzy now, just let me sit here and spin.
Well, it's quite simple, really. Martin called me in to bolster his own case. Now I think we'll unbolster it a little.
But how, Mr. Vance? What can we do now? He's got all Jean's money, everything.
Jean, I told you once today you've got nerve. Think you can use it again?
I can try, Mr. Vance.
Good. Now, here's exactly what I want you to do.
Mr. Martin, sir.
Yes, Bill?
That boat's loose again, sir. I'm afraid it's been damaged hitting against the dock.
Confound it. Can't you keep that boat tied up properly?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Martin. I wasn't here this afternoon, you know.
Oh, yes, that's true. I'm glad you came out clean in that nasty mess, Bill. Mr. Vance called and told me the police are convinced that you had nothing to do with that, that girl.
Yes, sir.
Well, we'll just forget the whole incident, son. Boat damaged, you say?
Yes, sir. I wish you'd go down and look for yourself, Mr. Martin, and you can tell me what's to be done.
All right, I will. Nice night like this, I ought to be outside. Yes, go along, sir, and I'll look at it directly.
Yes, sir. I'll be in my quarters if you want me.
Thank you, Bill. Oh. Beautiful night. Really beautiful. I ought to get the camera. Moon like that, I might get a good shot without a light at all. Good boy, Bill. Comes of good solid stock. Told him to turn on the footlights down here. How does he think I can inspect the boat without lights? Yeah. My, what a wonderful night. What? I could have sworn I... That song...
Recognize the song, Daddy, from Lullaby. Lullaby. And good night.
I must be asleep. Stop that. Stop that singing.
You used to sing it to me when I was a little girl. You and Mother would come into my room at night and you'd sing it to me. Remember, Daddy?
Stop it, I say. Who are you?
Look at my wrist. See the scar on my wrist? The scar I got cutting the melon on the lawn? You remember, Daddy. Mother was there. Aunt Ada was there. Remember?
Jean.
I was 10 when I got that scar. And when I was 11...
Shut up! Shut up, I say!
When I was 11, we went swimming one afternoon right here, Daddy. Right here at this pier. You remember the day I mean, don't you?
You
let me hold onto your back while we swam way out, Daddy. Way out where the water's deep and cold. And then you took hold of my neck, remember? You held me and you pushed me down, down into the water. Remember how I tried to scream? Remember how I felt struggling in your arms? Do you?
You didn't die.
You tried to murder me in this water. You held me down until you thought I was dead. But I didn't drown, Daddy. You see, I'm here now. I'm right here in front of you.
You fool! You think you could come back now? Did you think I'd let you come back after all I did? That money's mine, and it's going to stay mine. I thought I murdered you once. This time, I'll do it right.
Stop!
Oh, still, you little fool! Oh, it's the same water, is it? Well, you'll see, you little idiot. You'll find out!
I think I've had enough, Mr. Martin. And don't move, please. I have a gun.
Vance, where'd you come from?
From under the pier, in a word. Oh, Bill, light, please.
Right, Mr. Vance.
Vance, did it work?
Beautifully, Lane. He tried to drown her just as I said he would. You all right, Jean?
Yes, sir, I
Get up on the pier, Martin. Watch him, Bill. I'll help Jean.
Jean. Oh, Jean, darling. It worked. I heard the whole thing.
Yes, sir, it worked.
You take this revolver, please, and escort Mr. Martin up to my car. You will find Curry and some officers waiting.
Yes, sir. Come on, Martin. This is the end of the line.
Well, do you by any chance have a spare towel, Lane? The bottom rung of that ladder down there was just a little wet.
Vance, tell me something before I bust.
Burst.
Oh, don't be stuffy. Why were you sure Jean was Jean? Because you saw the fake scar tissue on her wrist?
Well, that helped, Lane. But I wasn't sure until Martin tried to make it look as if she'd poisoned my drink.
But...
Elementary, as that man would say. Martin told me he installed his photographic room after the market crash in 1939. Remember?
Yes, of course, but I still don't...
But, darling. When he turned on Jean and accused her of stealing chemicals from it for my drink, he said she knew the darkroom was there. Well, now, she couldn't have if she were his daughter. He drowned her 3 years before it was put in, and if she was a phony, she was too well-coached to betray herself that way. And finally, Pet, the darkroom was locked. Martin said as much himself.
You know, Vance, in a way, you're rather hot stuff.
Cold and wet at the moment. Oh, give me that towel. Oh, what's so funny?
Oh, nothing. I was just thinking. You really got that swim after all.
Thank you, Philo Vance, for the case of the girl who came back.
Philo Vance, untuned to yesterday from the 26th of July, 1945 on NBC. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of mystery, untuned to yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.